Iguodala. Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup.
The Board of Governors approved the plan of expansion that will bring the National Hockey League franchise to Las Vegas.
Well, you have to talk to my lawyer on that one. Are you ready?
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
Aquaman Radio is on the air, live from the multi-billion dollar Taco Man Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. My name is Johnny Taco. Of course, I'm without my all-star, my partner in grime. I'm talking about the great Zach Attack Young. He's got some floating legal holiday in his union contract. He's invoking that tonight, so he's taking the night off. I will be here by myself, of course, with the great Scott Petty Union production on the other side of the glass. But we're going to talk about the great, 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 great. And I can't use great enough when I mention the name of Pete Maravich. Pete Maravich was one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But when you think about the Harlem Globetrotters, think about a white guy that played better basketball, better trick basketball than all five of the Globetrotters on the floor at the same time. I kid you not. Pete Maravich in depth tonight on the Johnny Taco Show. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free text line. Text me something, drop a bomb on me, a compliment, say what you want, 415-275-1613. The guilt-free text line, 415-275-1613. Next up, Pete Maravich on the Johnny Taco Show.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
If you suffer from back pain, joint pain, arthritis, or other chronic pain, you need to try the water therapy benefits that Advantage Therapeutic Walk-In Bath provides. Not only does Advantage Walk-In Bath help get you in and out of the tub safely, it is proven to be beneficial to relieve aches and pains, giving you the relief to enjoy your day. You can enjoy taking your new bath and rejuvenating your body in as little as 7 days. And if you call today and ask for the radio special, we'll give you a $1,500 coupon towards the purchase of a new Vantage walk-in bath. Every call in the next 10 minutes will receive a $1,500 coupon towards the purchase of a new Vantage walk-in bath. Your aches and pains can be washed away. Call right now for a risk-free quote. 800-552-6851. 800-552-6851. 800-552-6851. That's 800-552-6851.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-797-1256. 800-797-1256. That's 800-797-1256.
In my opinion, the greatest playmaker playing today.
Excitement, enthusiasm, greatness. That was Pete Maravich.
He was unstoppable. It was as if you had melted down all 12 Harlem Globetrotters and then filled up this skinny 6'6 white frame with everything they had.
Everything just stopped. It was like, wait a second. Did he just do what I think he did?
You were never quite sure what he was going to do with the ball in the open court because he had 1,000 moves to either shoot it or pass it.
Give him that much room and he'll burn you.
He faked with his right hand like he was going to the player on his left, and he just whiffed it, and then he hit it, tipped it with his left hand to the player on his right. He went in for a layup, and the officials called traveling. And Pete went crazy. He went to the official and said, "You can't call that. You've never seen that move before."
Nobody handled the ball better than Pistol, but he wasn't just satisfied with that. He had to put a little show on for the fans.
I asked him once if he'd ever played a perfect game. He said, "No, but I'm going to. So some night I'm going to take 40 shots and I'm going to make them all."
He was an entertainer at heart, and his ability to pass the ball and dribble the ball and do outlandish things on the court, which sometimes even overruled the game, that was Pete Maravich.
Pete Maravich was Showtime before there was Showtime. I think that the only problem with Pete Maravich was the four other guys. He just didn't relate to the rest of the team.
He was the ultimate outsider. He was the great white player in a black man's sport. He was an individualist in a team game.
He didn't really understand basketball, other than dribbling the ball through his legs behind the back and pass behind the back, which almost everyone could do. He didn't understand the game of basketball. People just salivated by getting him on a one-on-one situation.
He had 250 players in the league that he was going to compete against that were going to try to knock him down every time he put the ball between his legs or did something that was flamboyant.
Pistol was way ahead of the game. Pistol got the reputation of being a hot dog because he was so talented that he was bored with the game.
People would point fingers at him. Well, he's too selfish. He takes too many shots. That's why they don't win.
Drafted by Atlanta in 1970, Pete Maravich entered the pros as a high-dollar, high-profile player whose flamboyant talent belied the pressures that were building within.
I can remember him in training camp in Baton Rouge one year when he was with the Hawks and how isolated he was from the rest of the team. Pete was in his own world.
With teammates, he was aloof. With opposing players like myself, he was aloof. You just knew of the legend of Pistol Pete, but you didn't know Pete Maravich.
There was a wild streak in him, and you could tell it. The PR man at LSU said, "You know something? If he doesn't change, something's going to happen. He'll never live to be 30.
He got wrecked in the cocktail lounge, and he's ranting and raving, and of course he jumps up and cracks his head on the table. Splits his head wide open.
I remember waking up early in the morning to a phone call and heard the girl that I was with talking, and she said, "That was my husband on the phone." And I said, "Your husband?" And she said, "Yes, I'm separated, and so is the other girl." Well, I immediately hollered upstairs for Pete, finally got him to wake up. I said, "Man, we got to get out of here." So we got our clothes on, and we're running, and we're starting to go out the front door, and we see this car pulling up, or I think it was a pickup truck, actually, with two guys in it. So we go running And it was on the second floor already, so we opened this window and we're looking down, and it's about a 10-foot, 12-foot drop to the ground, and so we didn't have any choice. Boom, we're out there.
I've thought about suicide many times in my life. It would have been easy for me. I used to take my Porsche 135 miles an hour across a bridge called the Lake Pontchartrain just to air myself out and air the car out. It would have been so easy just to take that wheel and turn it to the right just about 10 degrees, and it would have been history for me.
In a lifelong search for stability, Maravich wandered into bizarre realms.
He claimed that he believed in visitors from outer space and that on his condo in Atlanta, he had gone up on the roof and painted in red paint, "Take me."
UFOs, karate, transcendental meditation, vitamins, fasting, being a vegetarian. He was always searching for some kind of peace that he couldn't find in basketball.
He tried to change his personality, and he tried to please so many people that he was a different person all the time. And when that happens, you eventually lose your identity. And that's what happened to Pistol at one point. He lost his identity, and because of it, things start falling apart for him.
The seeds of Maravich's eventual disconnection were planted in childhood by a father whose only means of self-expression was a game.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
Yeah.
Pete Maravich, born to Press Maravich. Of course, Press Maravich, born in 1950 and died in 1987. Pete's mother was Helen Graver Maravich. She died in 1974. Wow. They were from a steel town in western Pennsylvania. Of course, Maravich amazed his family and friends with his basketball abilities like from an early age. I mean, the age of 5, 6, or 7, they gave him a basketball, and he went out and he did crazy things with it. And guess what? The ball was going in the hoop. I mean, most guys at the age of 5 or 6 can't shoot a basketball, much like Tiger Woods hitting golf balls, of course. And I think on the Johnny Carson show or the Mike Douglas show or something like that, back when he was 4 or 5 years old, this is what Pete Maravich was all about. That's how good Pete Maravich was. That, I can't say, like Bobby Fischer playing chess, man. They're just geniuses from the crib, and the only one thing they're going to do in life is what they're cut out to do. For Fischer was playing chess, okay? There's no doubt in my mind, that playing basketball was all Pete Maravich was all about. No doubt about it. I mean, he went to high school in South Carolina, Central South Carolina, of course, man, and he was like a star. There was this, I mean, as I said, in high school, he was scoring like 45 and 40 points. 45 points in high school. He went to LSU. He broke all the college records in LSU. He scored 44 points, I believe, in his college career, as far as the average was concerned. 44 points, 1 year, 44 points. Oh, my God. In 1970, the very first round pick went third overall, selected by the Atlanta Hawks. Of course, he played from 1970 to 1980. He was a shooting guard, number 44, and then, of course, number 7 as well. But, you know, he was with the Hawks from 70 to 74. From 74 to 80, he was with the New Orleans Jazz. In 1980, he was with the Boston Celtics just for a minute. But we'll talk about how his career winds down. But the bottom line is, when at the end of the day, there may be no better player pound for pound as far as overall ability is concerned, maybe than Pete Maravich. I mean, you know, he wasn't a team player. We'll hear about this in depth. He just wasn't a team player. He wasn't a guy that liked to pass the ball a lot. He was a guy that liked to shoot and score because that's what he did most. In fact, I think that some of his opposition, some of the opponents, some of the opposing teams in the NBA realized that they could let Maravich shoot all he wanted and score 55 or 60 points, and guess what? They'd still beat him. In other words, the rest of the team surrounding Maravich wasn't good enough to make up for the fact that they had a superstar, but, you know, they were like, you know, they were just Pete's guys. For the most part, they were B guys, and unfortunately, Pete Maravich did not really have a great, great lineup around him, and of course, that was the fault of the fact that the Atlanta Hawks really didn't want to put anybody around him at that point in time. And then when they did have good guys around him, he didn't want to pass them. It was like Pete and these other guys. It was weird. In fact, I remember watching part of this back in the day because I'm that old. And I remember watching part of this and saying, God, this guy's in another world. You watch him on the court. He's walking around like he's not stoned, but he's in another phase. He's in another time zone. He's in another world. There's Pete's world, and there's everybody else's world. And there's a few guys that have been like that over the years. But, man, Pete Maravich was a stone-cold freak. There's just no doubt about it. But one of the best basketball players of all time. 10 years, of course, that career ended. And basically it ended when he hurt his knee. We'll talk about that in the show in depth. But I'm telling you, this is a show dedicated to the great Pete Maravich. We're going to say number 44. I'll remember you for a lifetime because, in my mind, you're one of the greatest players of all time. Without a doubt, one of the most entertaining players in the history of the National Basketball Association. You are tuned to the Taco Man Radio Show live on Taco Man Radio from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California.
This is Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
You buy nice drinks, mister, but you talk so much.
Hey, Mac, two more over here.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home. For a simple rate as low as $19.99 a month. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For as low as $19.99 a month with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
Call 800-587-4281. 800-587-4281. 800-587-4281. Call now. That's 800-587-4281.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
This is Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
When I was 7 years old, my dad sat me down and he said, Pete, if you'll listen to me, you might be able to get a scholarship in basketball because we can't pay your way. And maybe you not only get a scholarship, but maybe you'll go to the pro level and you'll play on a team that wins a world championship. And you'll make $1 million playing basketball. And they'll give you a big diamond ring and they'll have your name on it and say world champions. And to a 7-year-old, my eyes lit up. And I said, Dad, that's what I want. He said, if you let me teach you, you just commit. You dedicate your life to basketball, and that's all you have to do. And you'll live happily the rest of your life. And that's what I did. I became a human basketball. I was a basketball android.
Pete Maravich's father, Press, grew up in Pennsylvania steel country.
Back in Aliquippa, you really had three things. You had the steel mill, you had the family, and you had sports.
Press took up basketball from the day he first knew how to bounce it. Completely obsessed with the game, loved it, played it with all his heart.
Press was really known as Mr. Basketball around Aliquippa. If anything, we all looked at him as a basketball hero.
After a short professional career in the 1940s, Press moved on to coaching high schools and small colleges.
He was very precise in everything he did. He knew what he was doing and he knew what he wanted. And you played for him that way and you practiced for him that way.
Everybody thought Press Maravich as this mock scientist about basketball. I mean, he was so involved in the game, you know, about the fundamental parts of the game and how it should be played.
Already a stepfather, when his firstborn son Pete arrived in 1947, Press Maravich charted a course straight to the gym.
Press was talking one time about how some people are born to play a piano, some people are born to be painters, some people are born to be writers. He said he thought Pete was born to play basketball because he had basketball genes.
Pete would come on the court in the backyard and say, let me shoot, give me the ball. And Press would say, no, go back in the house, you're too small. And Press said on one occasion he'd left the ball on the court and went back in the house and looked back through the kitchen window and he saw that Pete had slipped onto the court, picked up the ball, and started shooting. And Press says, I knew at that moment I had him.
It was like his dad was dangling something out in front of him and would intrigue him, and Pete would get interested in it, and then his dad would take another step and then another step until he was hooked and he was obsessed by the game of basketball.
When he was 12 years old, he opened the window to his room, jumped out of the window, and spent the night in the woods cuddling a basketball. When Press was at the wheel of the car, Pete would sit in the back seat by the window, put the window down, and as Press drove slowly, Pete would dribble the ball. Now, I mean, that's an eerie connection with basketball.
In 1956, the Maravich family moved to South Carolina, where Press went to coach Clemson. While he built a reputation in the ACC, Pete was building one of his own, playing on the high school varsity as a 12-year-old.
In 1959, he threw a pass between his legs, and the crowd went berserk. It was a small crowd, but they went nuts. And at that time, something clicked in him, very much like any entertainer.
When practice was over at high school, he would stay another hour or two, just ball handling and shooting hook shots from half court, stuff like that. He was about 5 foot, weighed about 80 pounds when he was in the eighth grade. He used to sit out there from 20 to 25 feet, shoot from the hip. That's when he got that pistol name.
When Press became assistant coach at North Carolina State in 1962, the family moved to Raleigh. At Broughton High School, it was clear that Press's passion had transferred to his son.
Pete was always the last one to leave the court, and when Press would be there to pick him up, he would say, well, come on, Pete. And Pete would always put him off. Dad, I've got a little bit more to work on. You know, I've got something else I need to do. And Press would look at me and he'd say, how about that kid?
He said, The world wants this kid. He said, what do you see him play? He said, he's just a marvelous player. He does everything. Sees the floor, makes the pass, can handle, can shoot it long. I said, Press, can he defend? Well, yeah, he can do that too.
The thing that really was impressive that he never took his eye off the basket. I mean, you could turn him upside down and you'd always look at him and his eye would still be on the basket.
He was in his little dream world on that basketball court. But as we would, you know, venture out and go to clubs and stuff like that, he would be tagging along behind.
When I knew him in high school, he was this jittery, jerky kind of a guy, the kind of guy that, probably some psychologist today would have him on Ritalin. You know, he was probably just too jerky. He couldn't concentrate. He couldn't sit still.
Trying to be friendly to Pete was kind of hard because he would start looking down and moping around. He wouldn't really care, in particular if there were girls involved.
While Pete led Broughton to the state semifinals in 1965, Press, in his first year as North Carolina State's head coach, won the ACC tournament. Father and son stood together on the brink of a dream.
Press was determined to coach Pete. All of us who knew Press knew that that was his lifetime goal, to coach Pete in college. But unfortunately, he didn't hit those books as hard as he should have when he was a young man. Consequently, he didn't quite make the grade on the SATs.
While Pete spent a year at a nearby prep school, his father let it be known in the college coaching fraternity that a package deal was possible. He didn't have to wait long.
Press was making around $12,500 as head coach at NC State, and I think he got around $15,000 to go to LSU. And Pete wasn't accepted at NC State, so both of them, you know, they go to LSU, and then it's history from there.
I can remember the first day I saw Press Maravich at a press conference at LSU, the first one he had as a coach. And before he got halfway through, he said, boy, there's going to be a guy next year at LSU is going to be the greatest basketball player in the world, my son Pete.
I think one of the toughest sells in America was to sell basketball in Louisiana.
It wasn't until Pete showed up on campus and started playing that, I mean, it was like the word spread like wildfire that here was a bona fide superstar.
And it'd be 5,000-6,000 people would show up for the freshman game just to see him. And then they'd have the varsity game, and it would be like 600-700.
After averaging 44 points on a freshman team that lost just once, Pete joined his father on the LSU varsity in 1967. In his first game, he took 50 shots.
Pete was there to bring in the people. Pete was there to do the scoring, and we were there to do whatever we could to help that along.
Press recruited players, at least in my opinion, that had the body to set good screens, and Pete was very good at stepping around those screens.
Somebody asked me what it was like trying to guard Pete. I said, imagine yourself in a big, dark, pitch-black room, and they put you in there, and it's full of refrigerators, and there's a housefly in there, and they try you to try to catch it. You run around, you keep running into all these big refrigerators, you don't see them, and boom, 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 and it's impossible to even try.
As soon as he touched the ball, people went to the edge of their seat. And there was this great rumor that was circulating that he had developed a shot that he was going to dribble down the court and right before the basket, give it a hard dribble, and the ball on a bounce would go in the basket.
You're listening to Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
Why is it people have a hard time adjusting to geniuses? They just do. I mean, you just, some people, you know, I've heard the term idiot savant. It's been applied to certain people that they're adept at one thing and they're total failures at others, okay? But, you know, Maravich wasn't that way. Everything Maravich did in his life, he did, how can I put this, with an attitude and with gusto. I mean, he became a vegetarian, he became a Christian, and he didn't become like a lightweight Christian or a lightweight vegetarian. I mean, this guy went like full board. Everything he did was 210%. There's just no doubt about it. His coaching, when he coached kids, was all about coaching them to the fact that he wanted them to push themselves to this 200% level. And unfortunately, not too many people can do that. And that's what geniuses don't realize when they go into coaching people. In fact, I'm not a genius per se, but, you know, I used to run hard when I was a kid. My mother taught me how to run. My mother was a track coach, my track coach as far as my Golden Glove boxing career was concerned. But she taught me how to run. I mean, when I lost my first fight, because I lost that first fight against Eddie Smith because I wasn't in good shape, I just ran out of gas. And, you know, Eddie was probably going to beat me anyway, Mom. But, you know, I wasn't in the greatest shape. So Mom said, you'll never lose another fight because you're in bad shape because of running. I'm going to get you in the best shape she can. So you should run me like to death, man. I mean, just to death. She did. And I realized where she was coming from because, you know, she wanted me to excel. But she was a bit of a freak in that, you know, she's, how can I put this, like Pistol Pete's dad. She was like, she wanted me to succeed. It was her goal was if I was going to get involved in athletics, I was going to win. I wasn't going to be some chump. I wasn't going to be some guy that came in second, third, or fourth. That was not going to be the guy that she was going to put together. I mean, that's just the way my mother, much like Pete Maravich's mother, was. She was very dominant to an extent. I don't mean like a dominatrix, but she, you know, every one time, let me tell you like this. We were running one night, and I was defending a championship for the third time. I won 3 straight championships, 3 Golden Glove championships in a row, which means like 3 years in a row. So I was undefeated 3 years in a row. And I was defending a title. And Mom says to me, no, you're really not running that hard. You're really not taking care of business this time. Yeah, I am. But I wasn't. okay? And I got lit up like the White House Christmas tree by a guy that probably shouldn't have beat me. So I learned again, moms just know, okay? But back to being a genius, your parents recognize these little intricacies, these little hidden talents that you have, something other people couldn't. I don't think that Pete Maravich was really happy after, of course, he went off to the NBA and no longer had his father doing the coaching for him. I really think he fell apart at that point in time. But when you look at the end of the day, there's no doubt about it. Great Pete Maravich, as we'll hear a little bit later, was one of the greatest players, one of the great personalities, one of the weirdest dudes of all time to ever play in the NBA. But that's why we're bringing him to you here tonight on the Taco Man Radio Show. A look at Pete Maravich like you've never seen before. You are tuned to Taco Man Radio live from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend
with Johnny Taco.
Talk to the hand.
The Lodge at Tiburon is steps from the ferry docks and nestled among Tiburon's upscale boutiques, charming cafes, and unique galleries. Dine at the award-winning Tiburon Tavern, serving innovative dishes prepared with ingredients grown in our very own gardens, starting from $199 a night. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon and create long-lasting memories. For reservations, call 1-877-614-6068. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon or go to lodgeattiburon.com.
This is an important announcement. If you're between 50 and 85 and worried about your loved ones, you can still get affordable life insurance for peace of mind.
My life insurance coverage is guaranteed, and I was not required to get a medical exam.
I had high blood pressure and diabetes, and I got my coverage with one telephone call. No exam necessary.
I'm a smoker, and I wanted to take care of my family. I called to get my life insurance and my affairs in order. I wanted to do the right thing.
Call Final Expense No Exam Insurance. Your rates are guaranteed and will never increase.
I called and learned that this insurance cannot be canceled, even if you get sick or gain weight.
And there are no restrictions on how my beneficiaries use the money when I'm gone.
Don't wait until it's too late. Call now and get peace of mind for you and your family. Call 800-935-2177. 800-935-2177. 800-935-2177. 800-935-2177.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
Of Pete Maravich's generation all wanted to play basketball like he did. Guys were in the low-cut sneakers and the trim white socks and the tight-fitting pants, and Pete showed up with his hair flopping all around, and he had these ugly old high sweat socks that just flopped all over the floor.
The pistol and his papa. The pistol and his papa. The pistol's done and gone and shot his way up to the top. He's played his way into the heart of almost everyone. And down in Louisiana, the pistol is top gun.
Those of us that were close to press
could tell how proud he was of Pete. And behind Pete's back, he would just say glorious things about Pete. He would never tell Pete that he was that great. Part of what Pete was searching for was his father's approval, and I don't think he got it very often.
He was so obsessed by the boy and his talent that he would take the films home and would play them over and over and over and over and over again all night.
They had strong wills, short fuses, and on the court at timeouts, they'd chew each other out. Press usually won, but Pete would go out after a timeout and do something so spectacular, the old man would throw up his hands and say, you know, what can I do?
I remember one game in particular during a timeout where Press said, we're going to do this, and Pete said, well, why don't we try that? And he basically ended up, you know, smacked him on top of the head and said, Pete, he said, I'm the coach, you're the player, we're going to do it the way I say to do it.
While Pete interacted with his father on the basketball court, his mother, Helen, was finding it increasingly difficult to live in the shadow of their mutual obsession.
She was agoraphobic, which is she was afraid of crowds and afraid to leave the house.
I was in school 4 years with Press as the coach, the 4 years he was at State, all 4 years, and probably saw Helen a half a dozen times. She most of the time didn't even come to games.
The sad thing about that was when she was in public, she was just absolutely marvelous. A wonderful lady, but she just, I think, crawled within herself.
Well, his mother was an alcoholic. I don't think anybody identified that problem at the time. Nobody talked about that problem at the time, but you could put things together.
Press had a hard life because he'd go on the road with the LSU team and come back, and the house is in disarray.
She was a lonely woman because her husband and her son were basketball. That was it. They were always involved in basketball.
I used to find it in the washing machine. I'd bottle of scotch down in the washing machine or in the dryer.
I think it made him mad. And I think it frustrated my dad, too. Part of it was they were so happy, and I guess it upset them that she was not so, she was just so unhappy.
Pete became more consumed with basketball. He withdrew from the family. He avoided Helen.
Knowing the problems that his mother had, I was concerned, and other players were concerned as to whether or not Pete would overindulge in his drinking to where it could become a problem.
He would wake up in the morning to go to class and go out there and see how did he get his car in this spot. You could almost sense and feel him hitting the front bumper and then backing up to the back bumper and front bumper and back bumper until he gets in.
He drank a lot when he was in college was the reports we were getting, a couple of wrecks. And, of course, you know, his daddy wasn't going to kick him off the team, but he might bat him around a little bit.
You know, if you're going to go out and do something really crazy or stay out and make sure Pete's with you, you know, probably wouldn't get kicked off or the severe punishment.
However hard Pete played off court, he never let up once the whistle blew, averaging 44 points a game in his sophomore and junior years. But scoring was only part of the Pistols' arsenal.
We felt like his ball handling and his assist abilities overshadowed his scoring abilities. And that sounds crazy when a guy averages 40-some points a game. So we made the decision that we were going to play him straight up and guard the heck out of the rest of the people.
Coach Rupp didn't think that Pete could beat us all by himself, and so we would play him one-on-one. The six games that we played against each other in college, I think Pete averaged over 50 points a game. But we won all six games, so Coach Rupp was right.
Managing just three victories the season before Pete's arrival on the varsity, LSU played a combined two games above 500 during his first two seasons. As he entered his senior year, Maravich was just under 700 points short of Oscar Robertson's NCAA scoring record.
More and more people wanted to be around him, wanted to be a part of him, wanted to talk to him, wanted to get his autograph, just wanted to get as close to him as they could.
He really started becoming a loner. He quit going to class. He basically, for all practical purposes, moved out of the dorm. Just wanted to be by himself.
On the floor, Pete stayed on pace. In the second half against Ole Miss in late January of 1970, the Pistol was a point short of the Big O.
There must have been 50 photographers at the game. And every time he would, you know, shoot the ball, all these cameras would go off. And he must have missed six or seven in a row before he finally made the shot that broke the record. And when he did, it was just, you know, it was an unbelievable huge burden off his back.
We were there to create magic, and he was there to create magic, and he created it that night.
Leading LSU to a 22-10 record, Maravich broke his own Division I record by averaging 44.5 as a senior. He finished his college career with 3,667 points.
Well, what I do every year in my first notes column of the year is I just remind people of what Pete Maravich did, that he averaged 44 points a game for three seasons. And I don't think people understand what that number is, and that's a number that will never be approached ever again in college basketball.
I think without a doubt he was the greatest offensive player ever to play the game. If you want to break his record, that was with no three-point shot. All you have to do is score 15 three-pointers every game you play your entire college career, and you'll break Pistol's record. No one's ever going to do it.
As the all-time college scoring champion, Maravich would face a new challenge in the NBA without his father on the sidelines.
We are most happy to announce that Pete Maravich will play professional basketball for the Atlanta Hawks.
Outmaneuvering the ABA's Carolina Cougars, the Hawks signed the collegiate sensation for 5 years at nearly $2 million. But it wasn't only money that set Maravich apart.
When I first came here and announced the starting lineups the first time, I got about three death threats because the people were complaining because I just mentioned black guys. All those are guys who were starting.
But once Maravich arrived, the color green became the dominant issue.
My reaction was thank God for Pete Maravich. Over the 6 years that I was in the NBA, they told all of us that if you were 6'5 and under, you can't make any money. So at the time, Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain was the only two guys that were making money. When Pete came in, he changed the whole pay structure.
Buoyed by Maravich's deal, Caldwell applied for a serious raise.
I tried to explain to Joe that John Barrymore was a better actor than John Wayne. But John Wayne was paid more because he drew more fans.
I understand the system said you got to have a so-called white superstar. That stuff should have went out when the Civil Rights Movement ended.
I don't believe it would have made any difference, particularly what color he was. Don't take away from Pete's ability by introducing the color.
Joe Caldwell jumped. He went to Carolina, where there was a lawsuit and this and that and the other thing, because he wanted more money, couldn't get the money. Those grumblings about it. So there was an unrest that was starting because they wanted some money.
Here's a white kid who hasn't played a day as a pro, making more than triple the salary of anyone else on that team. And it caused some dissent.
They didn't have $60,000 to pay Lenny Wilkins. They couldn't pay me $50,000, but yet still didn't get Pete a million. So is that race or what?
Unfortunately, Pete Maravich was, in my opinion, the great white hope here in Atlanta. And I think that hurt him tremendously because his teammates, for the most part, were black and were terrific guys. But when they got Pete Maravich, it was like he was going to do it all by himself.
They got along with Pete great off the court. On the court, they had some problems with him because if you had a 3-on-1 break, Pete might go down and give it behind the back and go out of bounds and, you know, they're running down the court trying to get a layup, and so they got testy sometimes with Pete.
I would have liked to have seen Pete sacrifice a little bit more for the team during the course of his professional career, because I think his teams would have had greater success and he would have had greater success.
The ball didn't get to him as often as it did on other teams, and frankly, there was a little cleat that kept the ball away from him when he played with the Hawks.
I think they felt like Pete probably got a little more publicity and press, especially in favor in Atlanta, because Atlanta was a predominantly white southern city.
I can't believe it. His hair's still dry. It's still thick. It's still natural. His hair goes up. Incredible! That's just got to be the best hair in the league.
Despite his national following and 24-point average, Maravich wasn't adding wins to Atlanta's effort to upgrade. Although they had reached the Western Division Finals the year before he arrived, the Hawks never won a playoff round in his four seasons. It seemed that without his father to guide him, Maravich was drifting.
Looking at the numbers, the great Pete Maravich, 1970-1971, of course, his rookie year with Atlanta,
played in 81 games. 81 games, averaged 36 minutes a game, averaged 23.2 points, of course, in that rookie season. Of course, 1972, 66 games, 34 minutes a game. Of course, he ended up averaging 19 points a game. When we go to 1973, it was 26 points a game. Of course, played 79 games that year. In 73, 74, he played 76 games, averaged 27 points. The following year, 1975, he dropped to 21.5 points. 1976, Pete Maravich averaged 25.9 points a game. That's 26 points a game. How about this one? 1976, 1977, 31 points a game. The great Pete Maravich, I kid you not. 1977, 1978, 27 points. 78 to 79, 22 points. And, of course, 79 to 80 when he got hurt. Utah and Boston, when he was a shell of his former self, he was 13.7 points a game. Of course, only played in 43 games that year. Averaged 22 minutes a game. Not a very good year. Not a way to go off. It just wasn't the way for him to go off. Much like Steve Carlton. I talked about this guy before. Steve Carlton, of course, former pitcher with the Philadelphia Phillies. Of course, he was a bit of a genius himself. Had all those weird intricacies, those weird things about him. You know, those weird, much like all these geniuses, Bobby Fischer, Steve Carlton. You know, I mean, Pete Maravich. They just that's just the way it is. His playoff records in 1971, the Atlanta Hawks were in the playoffs. He was in five games. He averaged 39 minutes a game, 22 point average. 1972 was Atlanta when the Atlanta with the playoffs as well. 27 points. In the playoffs, 26 points in the following year in 1973. And then he went like 6 years without any playoffs at all. Of course, then he went to 1970 and 1979, 1980. Boston made it to the playoffs, and he averaged 6 points a game in the playoffs. And it was just sort of sad. You know, sort of like watching Muhammad Ali fight Larry Holmes at the end. It was heartbreaking. It just was. To watch Pete Maravich suffer like that, to know that his legs weren't under him anymore, his knee was bad. And once that knee went, you know, once that knee hurt, in fact, I was going to play the sound of the knee breaking. You can actually hear the bone breaking in the game. I kid you not, you can hear it from the microphone on the side of the court. So that's how bad the break was. That's, of course, ended the magicness, I think, of Pistol Pete Maravich, no doubt about that. We're honoring the great Pistol Pete tonight, Pistol Pete Maravich, right here on the Sports Overnight America show. Of course, my name is Johnny Taco. Johnny Taco and his All-Stars coming to you live from the city, by the way, San Francisco, California. 2 hours of Taco Man Radio each and every Saturday night, 10 p.m. Pacific time. That's 1 a.m. Eastern time, live on Sunday mornings right here on the Taco Man Radio. I am the Taco Man, and this is Taco Man Radio.
This is Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
He certainly knows how to shake things up.
The sun can make your outdoor deck and patio space so hot and uncomfortable you can't use it. But now there's the Sunsetter Retractable Awning. A Sunsetter Retractable Awning opens and closes in just 60 seconds, and it keeps your patio about 20 degrees cooler. It provides instant shade and protection from the sun's harmful rays. You can get your Sunsetter for as little as $5.99 when you call now to get your special $200 discount certificate and free awning idea kit. You're going to love your Sunsetter Retractable Awning. Sunsetter awnings are assembled in America and guaranteed to last. So call 800-692-0268 now to get a free awning idea kit with DVD plus your $200 Sunsetter discount certificate. This is a limited time offer, so call 800-692-0268. That's 800-692-0268 for your free awning idea kit with DVD and $200 discount certificate. There's no obligation, so call 800-692-0268 now.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices. prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Men is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
I mean, I've had some trouble because they play around so young today, very young. I was talking to my doctor. You know my doctor, Dr. Vinny Boombach. You know my doctor? Yeah. Well, he told me last week in his office he got 6 cases of VD. I mean, he's all right now, you know.
This is Sports Overnight America
with Johnny Taco.
The genius, Pete Maravich, recovering, of course, one of basketball's finest players in the history of the game, no doubt about it. When it came to hardwoods, man, and bouncing that basketball, moving that ball around the floor, being the magician that he was, the Harlem Globetrotter, the white Harlem Globetrotter. That would be a good way for me to describe the great Pete Maravich, the white Harlem Globetrotter. Kid you not. Of course, in hour number two of Taco Man Radio, we'll continue our hard look at Pete Maravich, a couple of segments. We'll talk about his fall from grace, the injury, the fact that he had to close out things with the Boston Celtics, that was a bit sad for him because, you know, here was one of the greatest players in the history of the game, and he wasn't great anymore. And he wasn't even a starter anymore. It's like the number three guard on the team. When you're number three guy being the number one guy in the league for so long, then being the number three guy on the team, that's got to be something. That's got to do something to your psyche, no doubt about it. But Pete Maravich, he hung tough, no doubt about it, and he finished things out. But at the end of his career, he was sad because of the fact that his career was cut short by an injury that maybe today, with proper rehabilitation and the surgeons we have nowadays, that might not have been a career ender the way it was. Well, this is hour number one of Taco Man Radio, coming to you live from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Open phone lines around the planet, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. On the other side of the break, right here on the Taco Man Radio Show, of course, we're talking more Pete Maravich. Stay tuned. Right after breaking the news, Pete Maravich and Taco Man Radio live from San Francisco, California.